call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo. Welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life, coming straight from the side, going down right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Audio shop talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward, as I keep it real, as real as I'm supposed to be. And once I get the clearance from Bun B, I'm going to keep it real. Already how we do it, when we do it, why we do it, because we do it. We like to talk about sports our way, have some fun with it, you know. So let's do that. Today is episode 31, the season finale. Season 2 finale. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, I want to give a round of applause to myself for making it to the season finale, season 2. And then I want to give a round of applause to all of you who've been supporting the Fix, because I love y'all. Thank you. Yeah, so since this is the season finale, now I'll be taking a 3-week hiatus and I come back. All I say is stay up with me, keep listening in. Keep checking out the episode. Stay up with me so we can keep growing and keep going and keep telling somebody. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend about the Fix Sports Podcast and Freedom Train Network. So we could be up in that ear hole as well. And of course, you know, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through their African History book series, the African History blog series, the African History curriculum app, YouTube channel, the nonprofit organization, as well as speaking engagements, lectures, educational classes, empowerment speeches, all those things that you can get from On the Shoulders of Giants by visiting www.ontheshoulders1.com, as well as www.ontheshoulders.org. Amen. You can learn as much as you want about African history. I'm telling you, I got you. Over 165 profiles. And you can get the books On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 1, North America, and On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 2, Central America, and On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 3, South America. It's on the way. Hey, man. So what the hell is going on between the sheets in my home? So this week, or this Monday, this season finale Monday for the Fix Sports Podcast, my HBCU spotlight is going on a SWAC player who was the former player of the year who now signed with the Detroit Pistons. Dun, dun, dun. Who is this dude? We're going to find out. HBCU news, an Ivy League coach wants to play in HBCU in a bowl game. So we're going to learn more about that. The NFL will have male dancers in the 2018 season. We're going to talk about that. Michigan football is under investigation for online sales. What? Gilbert Arenas, and the story of Gilbert Arenas, this what I'm going to read happened a while ago, but the story just came out. But Gilbert Arenas told somebody with the last name Crittington that he would burn his car with him in it. So we're going to talk about that, because Gilbert Arenas is crazy. Remember I told you about Kyler Murray from Oklahoma, who had a chance to played baseball and football. Well, he was drafted by the A's, and now he's back. We're back to talk about him because he's seeking this job, quarterback job at Oklahoma, so we're going to talk about that. Off-topic shit, you know, we're dealing with mental health because it's Mental Health Awareness Month right here in the Freedom Train Network. So visit www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about mental health and everything that we need to learn about and know about so we can improve the mental health in the Black community. So off-topic shit, I'm talking about like mental health disparities in the Black community, kind of give you a rundown on that. Go talk about, give you an update on the NFL preseason, what happened in the last couple of games and stuff like that. So we're going to talk about that. Then I was looking for more players, but I remember telling y'all, you know, I told you about LeBron opening our primary school, but then that made me want to talk about other athletes who's opened up schools. I know Jalen Rose has opened up one, so we're going to talk a little bit about Jalen Rose. And I was trying to find information about other athletes who opened up schools. It was kind of hard to find in the little bit of time that I had. So, you know, we're going to talk about Jalen Rose and all the other people. We're just going to give them a shout-out anyway. My weekly rant is aimed at DJ Durkin because he's been placed on leave amid Jordan McNair's death investigation at the University of Maryland. So we're going to hop into that a little bit. But, of course, you know, start off with our HBCU spotlight. All right, so former SWAC player of the year signs with the Detroit Pistons. Former Texas Southern star and SWAC player of the year Zach Lawson has signed with the Detroit Pistons. Lawson announced the signing on his Instagram page on Saturday. And he got a Detroit shirt, a black Detroit shirt, a Nike shirt. And on Instagram, he said, first off, love you, Mom. Shoot. But I just want to thank Detroit Pistons for believing in me. It gave me an amazing opportunity to sign my first pro contract. Quicker Dev Prep. Jacinto, Illinois State, Minnesota, Texas Southern, New Mexico State, NBA. I'm here to let you know that I can make it no matter what the circumstances are and people change. Praise to the Almighty. Hashtag 651, hashtag nation. Yeah. Lawson, who played at New Mexico State last season, was a graduate transfer, played for Detroit in last month's Las Vegas Summer League. I want to thank the Detroit Pistons for the amazing opportunity to be a part of the organization, I'm saying in the news release. I also want to thank the amazing support system I've had through the years. I'm excited to start this new chapter. Lofton averaged 19.3 minutes per game in six games to average 10 points and 2.5 rebounds in the final Summer League game against the Los Angeles Lakers. He dropped 21 points on 9 of 17 shooting. Lofton was the first team all WAC selection last season. He was the SWAC player of the year at Texas Southern in 2016-2017. So, one time for Mr. Lofton. One time for Zach. So, Zach finna go play for the Pistons after playing with Detroit in their summer league. And after doing what he did in the SWAC and the WAC and playing all it out. So one time for Zach Lofton. And as you know from the Freedom Train and the Speak Sports Podcast and my hood, your hood to the man, the little shirt, go ahead and give it around and talk to Zach Lofton. Zachary. I wonder if he related to Kenny Locke or James Locke. I don't know. But what time for Zach, man? Go ahead and pursue your NBA dreams, bro. Hey, don't ever give up on your dreams, dog. Don't ever give up on your dreams, dog. I'm telling you, dog, you got a dream, dog. See me? They call me Motivation Mike, right? I'm Motivation Mike, right? Don't give up on your dreams, dog. Motivation Mike ain't never give up on my dreams, dog. If I walk down the street, dog, and I trip, dog, I don't let that stop my walk, dog. I keep striding, dog, going forward, dog, and doing my thing, dog. You know, because motivation might, dog. You know me, dog. Motivation might, dog. And I keep it going, dog. If I'm eating French fries, dog, and I drop a French fry, dog, I don't let that ruin my French fry experience, dog. It depends on how long the French fry been on the ground. If anybody looking, dog, whether I pick it up and eat it again. But that's neither here nor there, my brother. But what I am telling you is you should never give up on your goals. Because me, motivation might out. You know what I'm talking about? I ain't never gave up on them. I remember this one time, dog, I took a boo-boo, dog, and I ran out of tissue, dog. And I was like, oh, dog, what am I supposed to do, dog? What am I supposed to do, dog? And I had a house full of people, right, dog? But I'm motivation, Mike, dog. I'll never let nothing stop me, dog. So I had to do ninja moves, dog, and pew, 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 do ninja moves and go to the next room, dog, and get the tissue and pew, pew, do ninja move back to the bathroom, dog, and handle my business, dog. But it's the motivation in me, right? I don't stop because an obstacle is in my way. You know what I'm saying? I keep going. Why? Because I'm motivation, Mike, dog. I'm motivation, Mike, dog. I don't stop, dog. We don't die, dog. We multiply, dog. If you let an obstacle stop you in your life, you would never be somebody. If you wanna be somebody, if you wanna go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. That ain't really have a lot to do with what I'm talking about. But I had the spirit of motivation in me, man. Look. If you stop on your dream now, you will never realize the capacities of your livelihood. Motivation might, I'm telling you, dog, I went from something to something real good. You know what I'm talking about? I went from nothing to something real good. You know what I'm talking about? Because I'm motivation Mike, bro. So the next time you feel it fucked up, dog, just remember, dog, motivation Mike, dog. Motivation Mike, I got you. I love you. You is somebody. Yes, you is. You is somebody. So get up. Get out and get something. Don't spend all your time trying to get out. And I'm gone. Bim, 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 bim. One time for motivation, Mike. He just wanted to drop that on y'all real quick. So at HBCU News, right? Ivy League coach thinks the conference should play HBCUs in bowl games. The 2018 season will mark the fourth year of the celebration of the Celebration Bowl that features champions from the SWAC and the MEAC and the only bowl game involving FCS programs. But that could change if one Ivy League coach had his way. It has been well documented that the Ivy League is the only FCS conference not to participate in postseason play, whether in the playoffs or bowl game. In a lengthy SB Nation story examining whether the Ivy League will eventually join the FCS playoffs, Princeton head coach Bob Serace suggested an Ivy League HBCU bowl matchup so the Ivy Leagues can get their ass whooped, right? So why wouldn't we work with historically black colleges and play them? He told SB Nation, take a school like Grambling or Howard versus Princeton or Columbia or whoever. You're going to hit a huge number on TV. You're going to sell out Atlanta or New Orleans or Washington, D.C. Why wouldn't you want to bring more attention? He do got a point there. I do not disagree with him. One of the selling points of the Celebration Bowl was the national exposure the game would give the participating schools and conferences. Grambling State head coach Broderick Fobbs, who has twice led the Tigers to the Celebration Bowl, spoke of the residual recurring benefits just being in the game. Things have picked up tremendously, Fobb said, about the surge in interest in the program. We're a lot more welcome at different places than normal. That speaks to the way our team has played on television and our team has played just in general. Our coaches are very well respected because they do an exceptional job of teaching. You can't get any other exposure on our level than in this particular football game. The opportunity to play on ABC, the opportunity to be the first bowl game of the season in a huge area and nice venue. You can't beat that, Bob said. At the end of the day, it's about recruiting. It's about getting students to your campus. It's about getting exposure. We will one day see Grambling. Will we one day see Grambling versus Princeton, Howard versus Penn? At least one voice in the Ivy League believes it could be a possibility. So that would be pretty damn cool, though. I ain't gonna lie. People would show up to see that. I would like to see that. It would, I think, HBCUs to win, because I think HBCUs got more black players. But, you know, I hope that happens. So, what's the coach name? What's the coach's name? Yada 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 yada. Bob Sorace. Okay, so one time for Coach Sorace, one time for Bobby. Coach Bobby Sorace. You know what I'm talking about? I do think that's a good idea, and I do think people will tune in, and I do think people would like to see the HBCUs whoop up on the Ivy League. So let's let that happen. Let's make that happen so Princeton can get stumped. Harvard could get stumped. Columbia, Penn, Brown, all y'all can get stumped by the HBCUs coming in, going down, straight up. Yeah. So, let's move on. Guess what? For all you football people, the NFL will have male dancers on its sidelines in the 2018 season. Did you know that? If you didn't know, now you know. If you already knew it, well, you finna know it some more. So NFL fans will see history made this season, and it has nothing to do with what's going on between the goalposts or between the lines, right? The Los Angeles Rams and New Orleans Saints will have male cheerleaders dancing on their squads for the first time. And they're both black men. Dancers Quentin Piron and Napoleon Yennies have been preparing for the NFL season since they made the Rams cheerleading squad in March. This is the tweet from Napoleon. Still can't believe I'm one of the first males in history to be a pro NFL cheerleader. Everyone's support and love has been insane. Thank you, and go Rams. Stick, yeah. So, other teams like the Indianapolis Colts and Baltimore Ravens have stuntmen, USA Today reported, but Piron and Yennies will be dancing alongside their female teammates and doing the same moves. That's funny how they put that. Piron and Yennies' success inspired 25-year-old Jose Hernandez tryout for the New Orleans Saints Nation's cheerleading team. He told CNN affiliate KATC that his mom sent him a link with their story. She told me it was time to shine. It was my time to shine. He said in a video posted before his final audition, the process has been great. Everyone has been really nice to me. I can't wait to see where this goes. So that's the information on that. So what are your thoughts? I think it's very interesting that the NFL is bringing in black male cheerleaders, black and brown male cheerleaders, at a time where the athletes are protesting. I do think it's also interesting that the first male cheerleaders in the NFL will be black and brown men at a time where the football players are protesting injustice is going on. Could it be an attempt by the NFL to put the attention elsewhere? Could be. Because it's an interesting time for this to happen. That's all I'm saying. I ain't saying nobody can't be cheerleaders and nothing like that. Whatever. That's not what I'm going to get into today. I mean, would I personally... I'm going to be real with you. I don't really pay attention to the cheerleaders anyway. I'm going to be real with you, me personally. No, outside of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, because they're the most popular, we don't really know nothing about the other cheerleading squads. I even don't really pay attention to the Dallas Cowboy cheerleading squad. I just don't, in general, pay attention, especially like when I'm watching NFL or college. And, oh, I ain't going to lie. Okay, if I'm at the college game, I'm looking at the cheerleaders. I ain't gonna lie. If I'm at a college game, I'm gonna look at the cheerleaders. I will. I ain't gonna lie. But NFL games, but if it's college on TV, and it's NFL on TV, And even NFL in real life, I'm not really paying attention to cheerleaders in NFL games in real life, not that much. And I'm not really paying attention to the cheerleaders when I'm watching on TV. I'm really not paying attention to cheerleaders at all. So it's really not going to affect me either way. But if we're talking about from a black liberation standpoint, then I got all types of questions. Like, because I just do think it's interesting. It's an interesting time to have black male cheerleaders. When black male athletes or black male football players are protesting injustices. Then you got all the things going on with Donald Trump and all these things. Could be coincidences, could not be. Hey, who knows? You tell me what you think. I'm telling you what I think. Tell me what you think, right? Don't leave me out here by myself. Tell me what you think, too. But you know what I mean? One time for the young men to be able to live their dreams and be cheerleaders and go out there and do their thing and make their dreams happen. So, one time for Quentin and Napoleon doing their thing. But, you know, I just do think it's very, 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 very interesting. Very interesting to have black male deaths. And then the line of thinking of the further effeminization of the black male. That has to come into play, too. That has to come to some people. I know it's in a lot of people's mind thought process because it did come into my thought process. Even though, at the end of the day, I really don't give a shit about these dudes being cheerleaders. I'm going to just say, let me just put that out there on the table before I go deep into the black male, into the effeminization of the black male. I will say that I really don't give a shit about these dudes being cheerleaders at all. Like I said, it's not going to... I don't really pay attention to cheerleaders anyway, unless I'm at a college football game. And college football already has male cheerleaders. So, you know, but these dudes will be dancers, which be a lot different. But it's nothing new to the high school or collegiate realm to have male dancers. But it is new for the NFL. So, you know, you will have the school of thought of the further feminization of the black male, which is something that is real. And I know people, a lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people are offended by it. But from my study and my research, there has been a further, seem like it's, you know, further push to feminize black men. You know, so I'm under the school of thought is I care not who you sleep with. I just think if you're a man, all us men, we still have a responsibility to protect our communities and the women of our communities. And who you sleep with shouldn't alter that. You know, how you see yourself shouldn't alter that. At the end of the day, it's our job as men to protect our community and the people in our community at the end of the day. So, you know, that's how I feel about that. And anything that comes into stopping that, now we got a problem. Right? So if you're being, you know, if anything you're doing is stopping you from being able to protect the community and the people in the community, we got a problem now. Yeah. So that's what it is. Male dancers in the NFL. If you don't like it, I guess you're not going to watch the NFL, right? If you do like it, I guess that's just going to make you watch the NFL. But at the end of the day, I really don't give a shit. It's not going to stop me from watching, and it's not going to make me watch. I don't pay attention to the cheerleaders in the NFL. There really isn't much of an opportunity to pay attention to the cheerleaders in the NFL. And even, I remember last time I went to an NFL game, I don't even remember the damn cheerleaders. I remember Peyton Manning. It's been a minute. It's like last time Peyton Manning played for the Colts. Well, he wasn't on the field, but you know. Yeah. So, there it is, man. Male dancers in the NFL. If you don't like it, I guess you ain't going to watch. If you do like it, I guess you're going to watch. At the end of the day, Joseph Ward don't really give a shit. Michigan football is under investigation for the sale of Air Jordans online. Right. After 13 North Carolina football players were suspended for violating NCAA rules by selling their exclusive team issue at Jordan's, the University of Michigan says it is investigating any similar possible violations related to the sale of team issue shoes. An ESPN report indicated that 23 pairs of team issue Michigan shoes were found on the shoe marketplace website StockX. Michigan, like North Carolina, is a Jordan brand school and includes some of the most highly coveted shoes in the collection of gear for its student athletes. We are aware of the report at North Carolina, Michigan football spokesperson Dave Abelov said via 24/7 Sports. Our compliance office is looking into this matter and will determine if anything needs to be reported to the NCAA. According to 24/7 Sports, Abelov also mentions that the team issued shoes found on StockX exchange may not necessarily have come from the current student athletes. There is no NCAA violation for former players selling gear, and they may not have come from players at all, since celebrities, executives, and other VIPs around the program also have the opportunity to obtain player exclusive gear. So Michigan is under investigation, and we're going to see what happens in this. We're going to see if we get a report that comes out about Michigan players or whoever selling team issue Jordan and stuff. But hey, I mean, you know, like I said last week, environment is there. The environment is there for, especially if it was current players, the environment was there for players to try to get some J's. So, you know, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. So we're gonna find out what happens with this, with the University of Michigan, and I will keep you all up to date on what's going on all that. All right. So let's talk about crazy ass Gilbert Arenas. Y'all know what? This off topic is shit. When I get through with this, I'm finna go make me some French fries, some homemade French fries. I'm finna go skin me some potatoes and make me some goddamn French fries. All right, back to this. Right. Gilbert Arenas told dude who last named Crittington that he'd burn his car with him in it. Bring him gun. Bang, bang. Gilbert Arenas. Bang, bang. Gilbert Arenas crazy as fuck. So former NBA star Gilbert Arenas revealed new details Tuesday regarding the 2009 locker room confrontation between him and then teammate Jarvis Crittington when they played for the Washington Wizards. In an interview with John Gold of the Action Network, Arenas described the start of the issue between him and Crittington, which was born from the result of a card game, Bure, during a team flight. They figured it out. JaVale McGee wins. The plane lands, and now Javar says to JaVale, "So you just going to let me lose my money like that? You ain't even going to be a real nigga and give me a chance to get my money back? Oh, hell no. Nah. This is the type of shit that gets you fucked up in the street. I was like, Jarvis, I will burn your car while you in it. Then we'll find an extinguisher to help your ass out." And he says, "Well, I'll just shoot you then." I said, "Man, I'll bring you the gun to shoot me." That's what Gilbert Arenas said. That led to Arenas and Crittington reportedly pulling guns on each other in the locker room. Both players were suspended for the remainder of the season because they some dumbasses, right? On the day of the incident, Arenas brought 4 unloaded guns to the locker room. That's some NBA shit. That's some NBA shit. You don't bring guns, but they unloaded. That's some dumb shit. He explained the rationale behind his decision, saying it was about me calling his bluff. "You say you're going to shoot me? Fine. I'll bring you the guns to do it." When Arenas told Crittington to pick a gun, Crittington responded by saying, Oh no, you don't need to shoot me with one of those. I got one right here." Per Gold, Crittington then pulled a loaded gun at Arenas before the situation was eventually defused. Because Arenas a dumbass, that's why. And Crittington a dumbass. You got 4 unnamed. Although it was widely reported initially that despite that dispute was over gambling, that Arenas downplayed that. No, this is Arenas. "This had nothing to do with gambling debt. It was about the shit talking while I was losing. It was like someone scoring on you every time down. I'm the designated shit talker. I could be down 40,000, but if I irritated someone so bad they feel like they lost 20K, I'm happy I won. I don't feel like the biggest loser of the night." Arenas returned to the Wizards the following season, but he was traded to the Orlando Magic. He was a three-time All-Star in Washington, was averaging 22.6 points per game in 2009-2010 before his suspension. Upon returning, Arenas played just two more seasons in the NBA and was never the same player as his dumbass. Crittenden never appeared in another NBA game following his suspension because his dumbass too. Now Crittenden is 30 and serving a 23-year sentence in prison after pleading guilty to voluntary manslaughter in the 2011 killing of 22-year-old Julian Jones. Told you it was a dumbass. Told y'all Crittenden and Gilbert Arenas were dumbasses. Wow. Do not hang with fucktards like that. Do not. That's some of the dumbest shit I ever heard in my life. Wow. So you pull guns on each other because you're shit talking. And you dumb enough to bring guns to the locker room, but yours unloaded. Crittenden's loaded. But the fact that both you fucktards brought guns to the locker rooms, y'all ain't goddamn smart. You say, fuck life, fuck my career, fuck life, fuck all that shit, though, you know. I'm just here for fun. I'm just taking up space anyway. I ain't really serious about my life and my future and shit, you know. That's why I'm up here gambling away all my money and trying to be fake-ass gangsters and shit, man. But, you know, I guess they feel like they could drop rap albums after that, huh? Stupid fucks. Well, both of them out the league, Crittenden in prison and Gilbert Arenas. I don't know what the fuck Gilbert Arenas is doing with his life. He doing something. He be commentating on something, giving his opinion on something, but I wouldn't let Gilbert Arenas give his opinion on the consistency of my turds. How about that? So moving on, like Maya. So millionaire baseball pick Murray seeks quarterback job at Oklahoma. Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray insists he hasn't changed yet. There are consistent reminders that his life will never be the same. Before June, he was merely a gifted two-sport college athlete, but once the Oakland Athletics took him with the 9th overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft and signed him for nearly $5 million, a new level of fame followed. Murray and the A's agreed that he would come back to Oklahoma and play football, meaning he would return to campus making money on par with the football coach Lincoln Riley, who's a young dude about my age, right? I'm a little jealous of that, I ain't gonna lie. As soon as I've enjoyed teasing Murray about his newfound wealth, because he bought it. You know he got, he getting mad sex, too. They know he got money. Oh, Kyler getting mad sex. He already played football, right? Now they know you getting mad sex. Kyler Murray going to get his ass ate this year, watch. I swear, he going to get his ass ate by two girls this year, watch. He got $5 million. He getting his ass ate this year, watch. They obviously make fun of having money, he said, smiling broadly. All that stuff, they make fun of it, but it's all been good. They showed love, supported me through it all, and I'm very thankful for that. The spotlight on Murray soon could burn even more brightly. He's poised to follow Heisman winner Baker Mayfield as Oklahoma starting quarterback. If he can beat out Austin Kendall, the 5'10" speedster, could be one of college football's most electrifying players. Yeah. Last season, he completed 18-21 passes for 359 yards, three touchdowns and no interceptions, and ran 14 times for 124 yards as Mayfield's backup, including a 66-yard burst against West Virginia. Though his future is in baseball, Murray is focused immediately on the gridiron and earning the starting nod for the September 1st opener against Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic, go ahead, Florida Atlantic, go. I wouldn't be here right now if I wasn't hungry to play this. That's true, he said. He just got $5 million, so that's true. I think this is the most anticipated football season I've ever been ready for in my life. I'm ready to go. For all the things around Murray that have changed, his teammates say he's remained level-headed. There's no change, receivers. C.D. Lamb said, I don't feel like he needs to change. He knows he doesn't need to change to make any differences this offseason. He's always going to be the same person. And that's what I always liked about him. Mary said his family and friends have kept him grounded. Obviously, I've got a lot of ability to do things that other college kids don't have the ability to do, but I'm living like a regular kid. He said, I'm not the kind of guy to come up here and blow money. To me, I'm still broke. It's been a challenge for Murray to get the people around him to talk about football while the conversation drifts to baseball and bank accounts. Murray finds himself redirecting. I've learned how taxes go now, he joked. That's not very fun. I'm not really focused on the money part of it. I'm focused on playing football. So, one time for Kyler Murray. I hope he ball out this year. But get your money, bro. Fuck football. Get your money. Stay in baseball and keep getting paid. Fuck football, man. I wouldn't have came back. He better than me. Well, he different than me. I ain't going to say he better than me because he's not better than me, but he different than me. So I take that $5 million. Now I go straight be a baseball player. And I wouldn't look back at football. But that's just me. Because I know I would save my body. I do the baseball thing. That's just me. So, one time for Kyler Murray, I wish you well. I wish you have a bright future. But for me, I have a bright future in baseball. I wouldn't even think about football no more. As much as I love football, I wouldn't think about football no more. And that for you, fresh out, $5 million? Shit. All right. So, my off-topic shit, we talking about mental health disparities in the black community because August is Mental Health Awareness Month on the Freedom Train Network. We want to make sure that we keep the momentum and the tide going, flowing to get information on mental health awareness because we want to raise mental health awareness within our community. So, I'm on mentalhealthamerica.net and it's talking about black and African-American communities and mental health. Mental Health America works nationally and locally to raise awareness about mental health. We believe that everyone at risk for mental illnesses and related disorders should receive early and effective intervention. Historically, communities of color experience unique and considerable challenges in associating and assessing mental health services. So this infographic is saying that 13.2% of the U.S. population identifies as black or African American. Of those, over 16% had a diagnosable mental illness in the past year. That's over 6.8 million people, more people than the populations of Chicago, Houston, and Philadelphia combined, right? So 13.2% of the U.S. population, or roughly 45.7 million people, identified themselves as Black or African American, according to the 2014 U.S. Census Bureau. Another 2.5% identified as multiracial. This represents an increase from 12.6% of the U.S. population who identify themselves as Black or African American in 2010 census, right? After 2010, 55% of all Black and African American people lived in the South, 18% lived in the Midwest, 17% in the Northeast, 10% in the West. Historical adversity, which includes slavery, sharecropping, and race-based exclusion from health, educational, social, and economic sources, resources translate to socioeconomic disparities experienced by African Americans today. Which is true. Socioeconomic status in turn is linked to mental health. People who are impoverished, homeless, incarcerated, or have substance abuse problems are at higher risk for poor mental health. Despite progress made over the years, racism continues to have a negative impact on the mental health of Black African Americans. Negative stereotypes and attitudes of rejection have decreased, not necessarily website, but continue to occur with measurable adverse consequences. Contemporary instances of negative treatment have led to a mistreatment of authority, many of whom have not seen as having the best interests of Black people in America. Right? According to the U.S. HHS Office of Minority Health, adult Black African Americans are 20% more likely to report serious psychological distress than adult whites. That's good. Adult Black African Americans living below poverty are three times more likely to report serious psychological distress than those living above poverty. Adult Black African Americans are more likely to have feelings of sadness, hopelessness, and worthlessness than adult whites. And while Black African Americans are less likely than white people to die from suicide as teenagers, Black African American teenagers are more likely to attempt suicide than a white teenager, according to this website. 18.3% versus 6.2%, right? Black African Americans of all ages are more likely to be victims of serious violent crimes than are non-Hispanic whites, making them more likely to meet the diagnosis criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder. Black African Americans are also twice as likely as non-Hispanic whites to be diagnosed with schizophrenia. Attitudes is what's, so that was the prevalence of the attitude, right? According to a study conducted by Ward, Whitshire, Detry, and Brown in 2013, Black African Americans hold beliefs related to stigma, psychological openness, and help seeking, which in turn affects their coping behaviors. Generally speaking, these the participants in this study were not very open to acknowledging psychological problems, but they were somewhat open to seek mental health services. 30% of participants report having mental illness or receiving treatment for a mental illness. Black African American men are particularly concerned about stigma, cohort effects, exposure to mental illness, and increased knowledge of mental illnesses are factors which could potentially change beliefs about symptoms of mental illness. Participants appear apprehensive about seeking professional help or mental health issues, which is consistent with previous research. However, participants were willing to seek out some form of treatment issues, right? Black African Americans today are overrepresented in our jails and prisons. People of color account for 60% of the prison population. Black African Americans also account for 30% of drug arrests, but only 14% of regular drug users. Because less than 2% of American Psychological Association members are Black African Americans, some may worry that mental health care practitioners are not culturally competent enough to treat their specific issues. This is compounded by the fact that some Black African American patients are reported experiencing racism and microaggression from therapy. Stigma and judgment prevents Black African Americans from seeking treatment for their mental illnesses. Research indicates that Black African Americans believe that mild depression or anxiety would be considered crazy in their social circles. Furthermore, many believe that discussions about mental illness would not be appropriate even among family. So, and this is access and insurance. So, disparities in access to care and treatment for mental illnesses have also persisted over time. While implementation of Affordable Care Act has helped to close the gap on uninsured individuals, 15.9% of Black African Americans versus 11.1% of white Americans were still uninsured back in 2014. In 2012, the percentage of people who were unable to get or delayed in getting needed medical care or prescription medicines were significantly higher for people with no health insurance. In 2011, 54.3% of Black African Americans with major depressive episodes received treatment compared to 73.1% of white adult Americans. Compared to 43% of white Americans, 40.6% of Black Americans age 12 and over were treated for substance abuse and completed their treatment course. So, you know, different information and stuff about mental health. Like we've been saying, make sure you're taking care of your mental health. Please be taking care of your mental health. Black Americans behind the eight ball on mental health as a whole, but we could do better. So let's do better. That's why I want to drop the information on y'all. I want to give y'all a little update on NFL preseason and things that's happening. So as you know, last time you talked to me was Friday. A couple games going on Friday. So Friday we had the Falcons versus Jets and the Lions versus the Raiders, and the Jets beat the shit out of the Falcons 17-0, and the Raiders beat the Lions 16-10. Then Saturday we had the Vikings versus the Broncos, Chargers versus the Cardinals, and you know I ain't really gonna get into the stats till week three because week three is where it really counts. But Vikings beat the hell out of the Broncos 42-28, and the Chargers lost to the Cardinals 24-17. Upcoming preseason games. We have the Eagles and the Patriots. These games are going to be on Thursday. So the Eagles and the Patriots at 7:30. Jets and the Redskins at 8. Steelers and the Packers at 8. Chiefs and the Falcons at 7. Lions and the Giants at 7. The Bills and the Browns at 7:30. Dolphins and the Panthers at 7:30. Cardinals and Saints at 8. Jaguars and Vikings are, well, the Dolphins, I'm sorry. The Chiefs and Falcons on Friday at 7. The Giants and Lions on Friday at 7. Bills and the Browns on Friday at 7. The Dolphins and Panthers on Friday at 7. The Cardinals and Saints on Friday at 7. Jaguars and the Vikings on Saturday at 1. Rams and the Raiders Saturday at 4. The Bengals and the Cowboys Saturday at 7. Go Bengals. 49ers and Texans Saturday at 8. The Buccaneers and Titans Saturday at 8. Broncos and Bears Saturday at 9:05. Saturday at 10, you got Seahawks and Chargers. And then Monday Night Football, the Ravens and the Colts. So, yeah, so that's what's going on in the preseason football. All right, so the Jalen Rose Academy. Like I said, I want to give some shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to Jalen Rose and all the other athletes who also opened up schools for our kids. Thank you. So to all the other athletes, I do apologize for not being able to find information enough time on you guys' institutions, but I do want to give a shout-out to all the black athletes over the years who have opened up institutions for the youth here in America. So the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy is an open enrollment public charter school on the northwest side of Detroit. The academy began its first academic year in September of 2011 and currently serves over 9th through 12th grade scholars in Metro Detroit. The Jalen Rose Academy provides a leadership-focused education that engages and inspires youth to achieve the rigorous level necessary to ultimately graduate with a college degree. Scholars are provided with an authentic academic experience, which builds both the skill and would necessarily to be successful in high school and beyond. Immersed in the culture of college, scholars will not only receive extensive college exposure via university tours, but also be required to pass at least one advanced placement course to assist in a seamless transition to college. The Jalen Rose Leadership Academy is a 9 through 16 model where scholars are supported not only through high school graduation, but through college graduation via college success, via our college success team that works to coordinate success for current scholars and alumni. So its board of directors consists of Jalen Rose, Michael Carter, and Michael Carter is the co-founder. Board members of Jalen Rose, Dennis Archer Jr., Greg Bowl, Kim Esterly Mates, John E. James, David Shostak, Dean Brody, Wendy Jackson, Jason Langwell. So past board members, Tanya Allen, Ron Klein, Ramba Ambrose, Burbank, Mick Coaster, Honorable Mayor Dave Bean, Diane Manica, Tim Gale, Neil Weissman. So, yeah, man. One time for Jalen Rose, man. Sending people to college and stuff. Doing what he got to do. So, gotta go to the website, Jalen. It's jrladetroit.com. We got athletic enrichment programs. We got college support and all that stuff. We got something for the families. So I'm clicking on the family tag now to see what that takes. There are resources for current families. So in addition to academic credit, the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy requires all scholars to earn enrichment credit in order to be promoted to graduate. Both short-term and longitudinal studies demonstrate the power of such programming to improve scholar academic performance. To support scholars in earning this credit, we offer a robust and diverse series of extracurricular programs and activities designed to intentionally cultivate key non-cognitive capacities and soft skills linked to a variety of improved life outcomes. Now, that was linguistic, like a motherfucker, right? Enrichment programs are designed for a high degree of scholar participation and skill development over the course of one or more years. They are objective-based, organized, consistent, well-executed with a clear mission and high expectations. There are attendance protocols and pre- and post-test programming follow-up. So one more time for Jalen Rose Leadership Academy and all the other athletes who open up institutions of higher learning for our youth here in America. like I said, I want to do that because I know and it's not to try to compare brain no shade or nothing, comparing nothing to what LeBron did, but it made me want to give more information about the other institutions that have been opened up by black athletes, because there are a lot of black athletes who are out there doing great things and nobody's reporting on it. So that's another reason why the Fix Sports podcast exists, to try to find these stories about these black athletes who are doing positive things within our communities and highlight them. So our weekly rant is aimed at DJ Durkin, who has been placed on leave amid Jordan McNair's death and investigation at the University of Maryland. So on a Bleacher Report, DJ Durkin, right. So, Maryland head football coach DJ Durkin has been placed on administrative leave by the university while it investigates allegations of a toxic culture exposed in the ESPN report. Athletic Director Damon Evans announced offensive coordinator Matt Canada will take over as the program's coach during the investigation. "We must do better and we must rebuild a culture of respect for our football program," Evans' statement read. The ESPN report described allegedly awful training conditions for players who were coached in an environment based on fear and intimidation. Strength and conditioning coach Rick Court was named as the most frequent aggressor, though the culture as a whole was described as toxic. Got to be careful what you're sending kids into. The report says players were subject to verbal and physical abuse, including one player describing an incident where he was forced to eat until he vomited. They had whooped my ass. Players who were unable to complete weight training were belittled with epithets, and the player was allegedly mocked after passing out during the conditioning drill. "The language is profane and it's demeaning at times," a former team employee said. "When you're characterizing people in such derogatory and demeaning terms, particularly they don't have a skill level you think they need to aspire to, or they may never get, then it's rough to watch and see, because if it was your own son, you wouldn't want anybody talking to your son that way." Offensive lineman Jordan McNair died at the age of 19 after collapsing during an offseason workout in May. Heather Dinich of ESPN reported McNair died of a heat stroke after his body reached 106 degrees. Our reading of the medical records and the 911 call Maryland made to the EMT to come to the field revealed that 45 minutes into the practice, he had convulsions and a seizure on the field. An attorney representing McNair's family said, and the 911 calls reflect emergency personnel noted McNair had experienced the seizure. Hey, man. You got to be careful who the fuck you sending your kids to. You got to be careful, man. Some of these coaches, they think that because that's the way that they were coached, that's how you're still supposed to coach. So DJ Durkin, he a dumb fuck, and he probably shouldn't be coaching any fucking more. And wow, somebody had to die but that's where it is with football coaching. I keep telling y'all, that's where it is with football coaching. Like, literally sometimes people got to die for toxic culture to change. Motherfuckers ain't just smart enough to understand that this shit is toxic. Maybe we shouldn't do this shit. Maybe this may have an ill effect on the motherfuckers that we're dealing with. Maybe, but no, not in DJ Durkin's school. Not at you. And first of all, the University of Maryland ain't fucking good enough in football to be cursing kids out, to be demeaning people, to be physically and verbally abusive. Maryland ain't fucking good enough to be doing that. That's first of all. So DJ Durkin should be fired just on the terms of him thinking that his program is good enough for him to demean anybody. Hell, you should be demeaning yourself for how garbage your program has been over the last couple of years. Right? But second of all, a motherfucker had to die? Somebody had to die? A player had to die for all of this to be investigated? For somebody to speak up and say something different? Somebody had to die? Man, y'all crazy as hell, man. I would snatch my child out of that school immediately. The University of Maryland should suffer its in recruiting. DJ Durkin need to have his ass whooped, and all the other coaches, and the strength and conditioning coach, and all the other coaches who came to that toxic. Man, you're supposed to take your stand. Somebody should have took a stand. Some adult around there should have took a fucking stand. The whole university and all, everybody's to blame. Everybody's to blame. Somebody should have been checking in and looking and paying attention to what's going on. You are academic of high of higher learning, and you have students, you have people who are under the age of 21 in your care. We got people whose brains haven't been fully developed in your care. I keep telling you, parents, don't depend on football and sports to save your family. If your child wants to play football, fine, but teach your child how to be able to use their minds. So if they're ever confronted with, or if they're ever been put in a position to where they feel like they have to choose some common sense shit over some football, they can choose some common sense shit because you set them up to be able to take care of themselves life after football. Start preparing your kids to use their goddamn brains now. Football won't last long. Sports won't last long. Their brains will. Their intelligence will. The knowledge that they have, it will last long. The skill sets that they have will last long. The know-how will last long. Not these fucking athletic shit. The best thing football and sports gonna teach them is teamwork. The teamwork don't get your fucking bills paid. Skill sets get your goddamn bills paid. Not no fucking teamwork. That's the most you're going to learn from sports. It's fucking teamwork and how to say yes, sir, no, sir, and to be programmed and not think for yourself. That's the biggest thing about these colleges and things. That's why these kids be so caught up in these things, because over the years, these kids have been so poorly conditioned to not think for themselves. Critical thinking is not welcome in sports, but critical thinking is welcome in life. It needs to be welcomed in life, because that's how you can get your child to make a decision to not sit at a fucking table and eat till he throw up. Whoop my ass. Y'all gonna have to whoop my ass, because I ain't finished and eat till I throw up. Whoop my ass and make me eat till I throw up. The University of Maryland ain't good enough. University of Maryland was garbage when it was in the ACC, and the University of Maryland is garbage now in the Big Ten. So how the hell do you come off thinking that y'all could be a program who really, really is conducting business like this? Allegedly. Excuse me. Let me say allegedly. All of this happened allegedly. So just in case all of this did happen, I'm going off on DJ Durkin and the University of Maryland. No, you fuck us up there. For the alleged incidences that happened, right? Man, I would snatch my goddamn child out that institution so fast. Man, you better transfer. You better take your ass to a HBCU. Matter of fact, why your ass ain't go to no HBCU in the first place? All the black players from Maryland transfer and go to HBCUs. Go to Maryland Eastern Shore or Morgan State or shit. Come on down to FAMU. Come on down to FAMU, be winners. You know what I'm talking about? But hell nah, man. But see, our community, the black community, we lean on sports so much. People from poor conditions often lean on sports so much because they really don't know that better. Like me, I come from poor condition, not like horrible poor, but I come from poverty. I come from the hood. I come from poor conditions. Even though both my parents went to college, I still had no idea of what all life had to offer. I mean, I knew I was supposed to go to college, but I had no idea what I wanted to do to college. I had no idea half the majors that colleges were offering. I went on one college tour that was like ninth grade. Went to Emory University and all a bunch of other schools who I never believed I had the self-esteem to get into. So I, like a lot of other people, thought football was my key out, not knowing that my brain was going to take me farther than football ever would. And my brain right now is taking me farther than football ever would. My brain is taking me across the world. So we got to start understanding that in our community. If you develop your child mentally, that will take your child further, and your child will make more money off their brain and their abilities than they will off of football. So fuck DJ Durkin, fuck the University of Maryland, fuck all them other people, the strength and conditioning coach and all the other fuck boys and fuck tars and bitches who at the University of Maryland who allegedly subjected their athletes to those horrible, horrible conditions with that garbage ass program. Wow. All these motherfucking schools under investigation. Ain't this a bitch? It's toxic culture. Football culture is toxic culture. Trust me. I know about it. Hey, man, that's the Fit Sports Podcast. I am Joseph Ward, your host. Like I said, this is my season finale. I want to give all of you another round of applause for rocking with your homeboy for two seasons. Been rocking with me for two seasons. Been rocking with me for two seasons. Two seasons. You've been rocking with me for two seasons. Yeah. So, I'm going to take a three-week hiatus. So, it's 13. So, one, two, three. So, I'll be back Monday, September 10th, I'll be back right here with the Fit Sports Podcast Season 3, and we're going to get down and stay down. I love you all. This is the Freedom Train Network. I'm Joseph Ward, and I'm out. I'll be bright.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the Air Force. There's no one that